from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G.
How are scenarios for you?
I jotted down a couple of notes, and I was busted. I think I was just a little too smooth on that one. But I like having an idea of what you're going to do before it comes up, because you'd always start with me.
Right.
And I don't always hear, because people don't realize that I'm also getting ready for a next segment, et cetera. So I may not be listening perfectly. And if I miss one detail, I get it all wrong.
All right. Well, we could talk about this next part later, but I just want to tell our listeners, because I've had a few questions. They said, G, are you back on coffee? And I want to go ahead and let the record reflect, yes, your boy is back on coffee, okay? And some of you guys noticed it. All right.
Yep, including me.
Right. Let's get to it. Let's get to the top three things that all of you need to know at 10.
Actually, G, because of the coffee, you forgot that it is now 11:07, and we are going to be interviewing Seattle Police Chief Adrian Diaz, because as you know, we had one of the most violent weekends that I can remember. I've lived in Seattle for more than 30 years, and there were a number of shootings that left at least five people dead and several more injured just since Friday. And Chief Adrian Diaz and the mayor came out yesterday saying we need to have more police officers, but we need more solutions. We need to know how we can support police. We need to know what it is we can do as a community to fight this violence that is occurring. And so Chief Diaz joins us on the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning, G and Ursula. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much for joining us. So let's get right to this one question, because I hear it all the time and I see it all over our text line. Are all of these or some of these gang-related shootings, do we have any idea if these are gang incidents? Or do we have a gang warfare going on in the city of Seattle?
No, you know, it's very hard to determine all of the shootings. And some shootings, we sometimes don't have a victim or the suspect in custody. So it's very hard to determine whether those shootings are gang related. We have seen an uptick. We are averaging about 16% of all of our shootings to have some sort of gang affiliation. But we're also seeing increases in shootings in our encampments and homeless community. We're seeing, shootings, just random shootings, more drive-by shootings. Just last night, we had a 58-year-old victim that was shot at on the side of the road from somebody that was shooting inside a vehicle. So there is a lot of more random type shootings than we've seen in years past.
In your opinion, why is all of this happening right now?
You know, I wish I had a good answer, because it would give us a lot more to really focus on a specific area. But, we know that COVID hit. A lot of people were locked in their homes, and we find ourselves as people starting to come out and get around. I think that people's tensions are up. I think people's emotional well-being has been affected by COVID, and I think that there are arguments that are occurring, and then people are pulling out guns and resolving it through shooting.
What is the plan of you and the Seattle Police Department going forward to ensure the safety of our communities? What is the plan?
Yeah, so we have put a lot of additional resources. We've taken all of our specialty units to really focus our efforts on on the hotspot areas. So if you look at anywhere from Lake City to Aurora to Rainier Beach and Brighton Dunlap into our downtown cores and our Chinatown international districts, we're really focusing our efforts. This has been some of the areas that have had the most shootings that have occurred over just this year alone and as well as in 2020. So we are making sure that we're trying to staff appropriately. But, you know, what's really difficult is that we are getting shootings throughout the day. You know, we had, you know, the shooting that happened yesterday morning at around 5:30. We've, you know, have more random times of shootings rather than it just being like a nighttime issue. We have shootings during the day. I mean, we're over 300 shots fired this year alone. And so we're trying to make sure that even in the midst of all of my staffing crisis, that I'm trying to make sure that I've got enough officers to be able to respond to everything that's going on.
Chief, in knowing that we were going to be interviewing you, I did reach out to some folks that I know who work within the Seattle Police Department, and they are telling me, yes, in fact, there is some sort of war going on between young men, possibly gangs. Do you have any reluctance to call something a gang-related incident if it, in fact, is one? And do we have a strategy in terms of dealing with gangs in the Seattle Police Department?
No, actually, I have no reluctance. I think if I knew that that was the 100% focus, it would make it much easier on targeting certain people that are known to carry guns and really hit our effort there. But, you know, when you have, you know, even from Saturday night to Sunday morning shootings, we had a fight disturbance that broke out after a nightclub. And then, you know, that was in the Belltown area. Then we also had then another shooting, kind of a running gun battle down in the South End. That one, I would probably say, might have ties to some gang activity. And then we had a hookah, you know, a shooting outside of a hookah lounge, more random. And, you know, right now our data people are noting that we are at about 16 to 18% when it comes to shootings that we can identify as gang involved. And so I think, you know, I'm having to base that on our data. But, you know, we also have a lot of shootings that we're very difficult to determine whether because we don't have a victim or we don't have a suspect in custody, it's very difficult to determine whether that is related to some sort of ongoing beef between gangs.
Hey, Chief, one of the things that we talk about on our show a lot of times, and it's been talked about in Seattle as well, talking about the release of violent offenders or the how quick some of these criminals get out of jail. What is your opinion about the court system in releasing some of these offenders from jail too soon sometimes?
You know, the last couple of years has been really taxing time for because of COVID. But I am concerned about how we have certain violent offenders that have been released. Certain things when it comes to people being on some sort of probationary status has been, you know, some of the standards have been let up a little bit, and I am concerned because we do have people that are preying on our community that have committed multiple felonies and violent felonies at that, and we need to make sure that we protect our community as well. And so, you know, and having sometimes those people in custody is extremely important for the safety and well-being of everybody.
Chief Diaz, we have been reporting that the Seattle Police Department has lost many officers over the past year and a half or two, more than 200, maybe closer to 300. What are you doing to retain the officers that you do have and to recruit great candidates?
You know, that has always been a trying time. We lost 186 officers last year. We're over 100 officers this year. You know, we are doing everything we can to retain our officers. We really have only had maybe a couple leave to resignations in the last couple of months. So we're starting to see people stay with the department. That is a good thing. I think we've been able to calm things down in and around the city, and we're getting back to more police work. We're hoping that we can do some stuff in relation to wellness and making sure that our officers are healthy. And there's a couple initiatives that hopefully we'll be able to announce, you know, soon enough, but that will be more focused on the retention side. And then, you know, we, as kind of the mayor announced yesterday, that we have some initiatives that we're hoping that the city council will support on our hiring incentives. You know, we need to make sure that we have the best and the brightest of people applying for this job and doing this job. And it's a difficult field to come into right now across the country. All the police departments are, you know, feeling the level of scrutiny and hardship, and trying to make sure that they've got adequate staffing. And, you know, that has hit us too, but I believe that people would want to come to this city because it's the 18th largest city. We are a great police department. We have great officers that go out and do the job, and they work hard at what they do. And I think people want to be a part of that.
Chief Diaz, the city council has called for, or the majority on there has have called for the defunding of police. And then it led to former Chief Best leaving, and I think it ended up resulting in about 18% defunding. Now there is a city council president, Lorena Gonzalez, who is running for mayor, and she says that the answer is not adding to police. What are you looking for in terms of a Seattle mayor? Who would help, or what attitude would help in terms of having a mayor who supports the police department?
We have a whole host of challenging public safety issues. We have a lot of violent criminal activity that's occurring. We are already on pace to be on another second year of being the highest level of shots fired. I need a mayor that will support the police department. We are working to reform, you know, in our reform efforts as far as being part of a consent decree. But we are doing the hard work. And all the officers that we have right now are here for the long haul. They've stayed through the last year and all the hardships that they have. We have great officers that are saving lives every day. You know, we've recovered over 500,000 fentanyl pills. And we are seeing one of our highest level of overdose rates in King County. But we've reduced that because we've been able to get 500,000 fentanyl pills off the street. And that's the hard work of those officers. So I need a mayor that goes out and supports the police department and the hard work that we do.
You are listening to the voice of Seattle Police Chief Adrian Diaz as he joins the G and Ursula show. Community officers. Officers on the beat. Earlier today on the show, I talked about growing up in Chicago and having that police officer that would be in our community. How does it look? Is it possible going forward? Is there a plan going forward as you get ready to add additional police officers to go back to that type of deal? A police officer in the community, an officer that's on the beat, sir.
You know, I so want that. A lot of my career, I spent time working downtown core on a bike, and I think it's so crucial for us to have those officers. But right now, I've got to make sure that I can handle basic 911 service, and that is the priority. But I think as we start to hire more officers, as we start to, you know, replenish the ranks, this is going to take from last year's events, it's going to take years to recover. And I do want to see our officers being out on foot, being out on a bike, but it's going to take a long time. We need to make sure that we are able to hire the amount of officers to start to recover and start to really build this department into what we want it to be. And it's a department of excellence. And so I just knowing that I really want to get back into that community engagement, I'm already building a relational policing model that will bring officers in prior to their academy time and really kind of work with them on building that community connections. And then that will hopefully help them, you know, build that community after they get out of the academy.
Chief Diaz, you talked about the consent decree, and the Seattle Police Department has been under it for 10 years. There was an article in the Seattle Times, and it was a document that you have that shows that the majority of people pulled over and on the receiving end of use of force cases are black and brown people. Can you respond to that?
Yeah, you know, we actually highlighted the disparities early on, and around 2017, we started acknowledging and noticing the issues in regarding our stops. So that report looked at a five-year model. As you can see over that five-year model that was highlighted, we've seen use of force reductions from in regards to our black community from 42 to 35, and then our stops went from 35 down to 31. We're starting to see a reduction, and we believe that those are part of the recommendations that we've implemented. We also put out, just recently, we put out an arrest dashboard. Out of the arrests that we make, 75% over the last year are arrests that are generated by 911 calls. So if we sometimes there are disparities that we might see, but a majority of the arrests that we make are and stops that we make are generated by 911 calls. And so, you know, we are looking forward to doing a more comprehensive dive into this work, because out of that five-year period, we also saw 65,000 calls for service that were dealing with people in crisis. And we know that there are disparities in our healthcare system. There's disparities in poverty. There's disparities in mental health. And so we want to really get down deeper into how we, as our system, can function, how we can do better to ensure that we are not creating those disparities.
Chief Diaz, I appreciate you answering that question. I have one more, and it's kind of an opinion, but also just an observation, or if you have any evidence. With the legalization of drugs in Seattle and other cities, but specifically in Seattle, has that made your job and the job for your officers more difficult?
I think it has. You know, when we look at the overdose rate in King County, fentanyl has already surpassed the amount of death that we had last year alone. And, you know, having, you know, being able to recover, you know, sometimes having, you know, possession, the intent to deliver, having those cases, you know, and it's very difficult for officers to generate the delivery type cases. That really requires, you know, more personnel, and it requires longer terms investigations. Now, we've recovered over 500,000 pills. However, you know, it's much more difficult for the officer to be able to, you know, help recover stuff on more of the possession or with intent to deliver area. And now we're also seeing those overdose rates start to go up. You know, last year was our highest, you know, year for the King County, Seattle public area. And it looks like we're on pace to surpass that this year again.
With the lack of police officers, considering you know, there's been police officers leaving, what does that mean for overtime going forward to make up for that?
Yeah, you know, this is one of the most difficult pieces, is that we have asked our officers, you know, I made some drastic cuts last year in trying to reduce overtime to meet our budget. This year, you know, we are trying now, as the city opens up, trying to make sure that we've got staffing for, you know, our special events, you know, anything from Mariners to Seahawks. But we also have to make sure that we've got enough officers that are augmenting patrol, and then also making sure we've got enough officers to just handle some of the stuff when it comes to, like, the shootings and making sure that I've got emphasis in specific areas. But we also know that officers are tired and they're burnt, and, you know, they're not taking those overtime opportunities because of being tired, and we got to also make sure that we recognize their wellness, and that's the reason why it's so important to have a lot more officers, so we can give officers breaks, and then, you know, also make sure that we've got the staffing so people can take time off, and so I also have to look at it from the wellness side to making sure that our officers are healthy as well.
Chief, I appreciate it. And talking about the health and wellness of the officers, that absolutely is paramount. But I know that there are listeners who also want to know, because the Seattle Police Department had a well-known OT issue, in particular with a couple of officers. But have you had that thing fixed where you can track it better now?
No, we are still, you know, working on a solution with it. It's a software solution. We're still working towards that. But what we have done in the interim is we are checking officers and their amount of overtime on a regular basis. So we actually meet as a command staff, and we are getting up. I'm getting updated 2 times a week, and then all of our commanders are staying completely in. They're getting regular updates throughout the week to making sure that our officers aren't exceeding those levels, and that also, really, honestly, now it comes to making sure that they're healthy and well, and they're not working too much overtime for their own safety as well. So, but we have put checks and balances in place just when I took office, hoping that we could get this what we call the WST project up and running by the end of the year.
Chief Diaz, we appreciate your time. You have your work cut out for you, and we always appreciate that you are willing to come on the show and answer all of our questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You are listening to the G and Ursula Show. It is now 11:34. Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. This hour of our show is brought to you by Guardian Operations. And because we had that extended interview with Seattle Police Chief Adrian Diaz, we moved our Agree to Disagree segment to right now. And it is brought to you by Johnny Tsunami.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
You know, we got a short segment, so let's keep it light here.
Please.
Yes. So I gotta tell you about something Facebook's working on. Apparently, they are great natural partners with faith communities and churches. Their goals, mutually, according to Sheryl Sandberg, are connecting communities. So Facebook's starting out with this new idea. They're going to let faith groups and churches charge users $10 per month for exclusive content, like, you know, special message from the pastor, little exclusive video, whatever you want to put on there. Gee, do you take any issue with that?
None at all. None at all. If I'm not going to take an issue with that, the same way I don't take an issue with when I turn on my TV sometimes late at night and there's a 1-800 number that you can call now to get that prayer for you. So, no, I'm fine with it.
I just don't think that Facebook has any intention of bringing us together and making it an opportunity for community to reach out and for people to have connections to their church. No, there's something just feels wrong to me, and it's because Facebook is involved, and so I would rather just keep it separate.
Why? Well, I don't understand this. Like, if you can have, Twitter super users generating exclusive content and having a subscription platform to do that, and all the social media companies are doing it, why exclude faith organizations? Like, faith organizations have been hurting over the course of the last year.
I have been putting them in a
different... Why have they been hurting?
Because
people couldn't go to church.
Because they aren't putting in the donations.
Are they tax exempt?
Yes.
Yes.
Were they able to get part of the PPP?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm just trying to learn.
Your point being?
I was asking. I was learning from you guys. I usually would do this off the air, but I'm just doing it on
air.
Oh,
okay. No. I think you were trying to make a point. But in any case, I don't know. For me, maybe that's an old-fashioned way of thinking, but I say keep it separate.
I'm conflicted. It's a great way for churches to generate a little revenue, but it also feels a little weird. Hey, G, I want to know which category you fit into here. So social media use went up, way up in the Seattle area over the course of the last year.
Gosh.
Almost 2 million people spent more than an hour per day. That's up 21%. 39% up is the number of folks who went 3 to 4 hours. And 200,000 people in the area spent 5 or more hours per day on their social media platforms.
It's so bad. I got to admit this to you guys, okay? I am 10 times worse today than I've ever been when it comes to social media. Over the weekend, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I did two things. Well, I made sure that Lily and I went out to eat, and we did that, of course. I had to take care of that. But I did two things over the weekend. Well, I did three things. I showered. I watched the Olympics. And I was on my phone on social media.
And you were just scrolling all weekend long?
All weekend long. It was so bad that when I went to bed on Sunday night, I was disappointed in myself. And the reason why you guys kept hearing me comment, like, oh my gosh, because on Sunday night, I was actually disappointed in myself. And I said, dude, you spent all weekend scrolling.
On this going glorious through. Weekend. That's
the entire weekend. You was on social media. So I even said to myself, I'm not going to go crazy, but I need some rules for myself. So I'm the worst. That's where I fit.
You remember that segment we did about the in our scenarios with that 11-year-old boy? Pretend that I'm the mom and you're that 11-year-old boy. Let me take away your phone.
Gee, you say you want some boundaries. So how about this for a boundary? This is something I'm considering doing, and I'm curious if you guys could get on board. How about just ban the phone from the bedroom? No phone in the bedroom. Could you handle that at least?
No.
G, Ursa?
No.
I could.
No.
Yeah, G could not.
Why not?
G could not. And in fact, I need to because my phone is getting too warm again. And I find myself, like if I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm answering listeners' questions. I'm thinking, this is no life. This is not the way I need to be doing this.
You must be watching hot stuff on your phone because that's the only time it heats up.
See, the New York Times actually had kind of a solution for this. The only reason I have a phone in my bedroom is because I need to wake up super early in the morning.
Yes.
And so they actually suggested, you know, the one piece of analog technology you might want to bring back is the alarm clock. Gee, could you get down with the old school alarm clock?
No. That sound, I can't do that sound. You guys know what I'm talking about. The one that was in your mom and daddy room, your grandma and grandpa room. That same brown colored clock.
Yes, with the
it was
digital,
brown, the digital display.
Numbers, uh-huh.
No. No, that's like broccoli with no seasoning on it.
But in all seriousness, though, I think you and I need an intervention. You especially, because I can go without it. I can go without it, but I don't think that you can. We need to pry it away from you because it is unhealthy. And the summer's going by very quickly.
Here's where I'm really the worst. I'm the worst when we go over to some friend's house.
Oh.
And I bring my phone.
Oh,
I should not bring my phone.
Yeah, you should not bring your phone.
Because I just go over on the couch and I'm just on my phone. It's bad.
Oh, that's rude.
Do people ever call
rude.
You out?
Oh, no. That's an addiction.
No, because I know they don't call me out, but they just know. Like, that's just G on his phone. Like, that's just what I do. You know what I mean? Like,
are you fearful you're going to miss something? What are you doing when you're with friends?
I don't know.
It's anxiety. It's like the new smoking a cigarette. I don't know what to do in the social situation. There's 3 seconds of awkward silence, so I look down at my phone. Is that it? Is it social anxiety?
I think it's fear of missing out.
You know, we've been talking about, like, there can be more than one answer. There it is.
Yeah.
There can be more than one answer.
You know what? You just reminded me, though. We are going to get, because it has been diagnosed as a real, it is an addiction. And we need to get someone who is an expert in this and talk G through it. And maybe me too.
Okay.
I think it would help a lot of people.
I'd go for a weekend getaway for a social media boot camp.
Okay.
Last question. In social situations, are you allowed to call out your buddy for being on their phone too much? Hey, get off your phone. We're up here. Or is that rude?
I would do it in a much more subtle way. Your goal is not to embarrass somebody, especially in a social situation. So I would maybe find a way to get them somewhere a little more quiet and say, hey, I notice you're on your phone a lot. Do you mind putting it away? I want you here.
No.
I want you to be involved. I want you to be present.
Don't do that.
How about confront them in a very rude way and post the video on TikTok?
No. Look, I think I'm going to come up with the rule that when I have my phone and I go to friend's house, I'm going to leave. Somebody just texted in and said, leave the phone in the car.
Yes.
I'm just going to leave the phone at home.
There you go. That'll be a good start. First step.
Coming up, your text, your feedback, and Ursula's words to live by. You guys are listening to the G and Ursula Show. It's G and Ursula, everybody. Happy Tuesday to all of you. We appreciate you being with us. It is now time for your texts, your feedback, and then, of course, we'll have Ursula's words to live by. Ursula, you want to get us started?
Sure. Simone Biles pulling out of the Olympic team finals for her mental health. 206 says, how do I tell my daughter to fight the fight and never quit? When an Olympic athlete quits because of stress, I'm shaking my dang head.
Yeah. Good point. 970 says, I'm sorry, but Simone Biles' legacy as the GOAT is severely tarnished. You don't drop out of the Olympics and abandon your team because you're not feeling it.
253 says, what happened to the world all of a sudden? We all have a mental health crisis. OMG. Seriously, I think we need a lot more big girl pants.
Apropos of nothing, 425 says, gee, I just saw an ad for Crocs socks in my email. I am so excited, and I hope you are too. They are amazing. Oh, now, Chef, why would you? You know I responded back to that listener.
Yeah.
And yes, I'm excited.
Okay.
You just gotta throw out your questionable fashion choices.
When it comes to Walmart paying college tuition for their employees, 206 says, for Walmart college tuition, apparently it's only for 3 universities. Look into it before you pop the champagne. Beware of that Walmart gift. I did look into it. I think there were 5 colleges listed, but I guess 5 or 3 are better than none.
So is there a difference between one of those universities and maybe another university? Like, are college educations different?
Well, in some cases, yes, but not in all. Okay.
206 says, look, guys, 30 years, 40 years from now, we're going to be talking about how college tuition in 2021 was a bargain.
Oh, I hope not. Not when you're talking about $250,000 per kid.
And meanwhile, salary still hasn't moved up. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. Phone addiction. 425 says, gee, I plug my phone in on my nightstand when I get home from work. Don't touch it until the alarm goes off in the morning. I enjoy my family time. And if you want to get a hold of me, make arrangements the day prior. Now, that is someone who has it together.
425 says, I'm 70 years old, but feel like I'm hearing a bunch of old people talk about technology. You got us.
We are in trouble. Okay, when it comes to 360, here's what I do at nighttime. Put my phone on airplane mode. Can't get phone calls or messages until the morning when I take it off airplane mode. Then I can sleep and get some interventions for G, please.
Good point. Replace the phone with an old alarm clock. 425 says, yes, G, my husband uses that stupid brown analog clock to get up for work, and he just sleeps through it. Oh, my God, so annoying. Then he says, I'm grumpy in the morning. Like, no, I hate being woken up by your obnoxious noises. Maddening.
Scenarios, my 11-year-old is performing dangerous stunts on social media. 253 says, delete his accounts and shut off the internet. He's 11. He should be playing with Legos.
Darla says, you've got a kid who is actually confiding in you, so be involved with this challenge, letting him make all the decisions that keep him safe and guiding him away from the one that don't. Seems like you can both win.
425 says, this is a shot at me. OMG, now I'm going to keep out a lookout for bumper stickers that say, my kid is a TikTok star with the kid's username.
206 says, as a parent of an 11-year-old, I'd be careful about taking their phone away. My 11-year-old doesn't have one because it will damage your relationship. The boy trusts the parent enough to share what he's planning on doing. You take his phone, he'll do it anyway and won't tell you about anything anymore.
And there is some truth to that.
I mean, there is.
So we talked about that, but I think that you can also do that and maybe just redirect his attention so it doesn't have to be all on TikTok. There is life outside of TikTok, believe it or not. And then 425 says, how are any of you going to lecture a kid about phone use when you guys are tied to your phones all the time? Kind of like that parent who smokes telling their kids, don't be like me. So true.
Okay.
We're busted.
Before we get to the words to live by, Ursula, I just want to tell you and everybody else that tonight, I'm going to put my phone away for the rest of the night, starting 7:30. Is that fair?
That sounds good.
Okay, just tonight, though. 7:30, okay. And I'll tell you how it goes. Okay. All right, now perfect. Time for your words to live by.
So we talk a lot about complaining. Complaining is finding faults. Wisdom is finding solutions. And if a challenge exists, so must the solution. So we got to keep finding those solutions. We've got a lot of challenges in this region, especially in Seattle. Make sure that you fill out your primary ballot and make your vote count. Our words to live by are brought to you by immunity.proclub.com.
Yes, your boy is back on coffee, okay?
Right. Buckle up.
Now he's planning to be part of the new TikTok challenge.
Hey, Kool-Aid!
Oh, yeah, here comes Kool-Aid.
No injury, thankfully.
But I need some rules for myself.
Maybe take away the phone. Wow.
You never know with Chef.
He was busy.
He was busy.
That was quite the compilation.
Yeah, it was. Good stuff. Thank you, Ursula. Thank you, Chef, for what you do, man. Good to have you back today. And thank you, Andrew, for what you do on the boards. Hey, we'll do this again tomorrow, 9 o'clock. Appreciate you guys for all listening. Be careful out there. Love you for that. And be good.
And you'll want to stick around for the Dory Monson Show. He's going to be talking to the man who posted a TikTok in Edmonds and got in all sorts of trouble. Stay with us.